Hello, I'm Natasha Farron, and I'm here with
Michael Tyson
at the Park Slope Old Timers Reunion at 4th Street and 6th Avenue on Saturday, August 10th, 2024. Can you please spell your name for us, please?
Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, middle initial J, last name is C-A-S-O-N.
Mm-hmm. What is your relationship to Park Slope or to Brooklyn?
Well, I live right up the block from here. When we moved to Park Slope, we came out of Bed-Stuy off of Green Avenue, and then we moved over here to 4th Street, 342 actually, 342 4th Street. But originally, we migrated from Augusta, Georgia. My father, we came from Augusta, came up here, moved into Queens, moved from Queens to Bed-Stuy, and from Bed-Stuy, we purchased a home here in Park Slope. Approximately 67, 68, something like that.
Do you have a particular powerful or important memory of Park Slope or Brooklyn that you'd like to share?
Okay, well, when we moved into Park Slope, you have to understand that it was mostly Italians, everything except black. And we was not accepted in the neighborhood. I used to come down to this park right here, right over there where the swings are. We used to go around the swing, and me and the fellas from the block. And next thing you know, we fighting the white boys. That's what we call them, white boys down here, the South Brooklyn boys. They lived on 3rd Street between 4th and 5th Avenue. And that was white ghetto. Those houses right over there, that on that opposite side of the street, it was all ghetto. It was all worn out, you know. But the Italians and everybody else lived over there. And so when we came into the neighborhood, come down to the park to enjoy the park, just swing basically. And no, we weren't accepted. They had the bocce ball courts over there. I was introduced to bocce ball. You have the Italian immigrants over there playing with those balls, rolling them in the dirt, and you know, we got a chance to see the cultural changes that was within the neighborhood. It was nice.
Why did you decide to come to Park Slope Old Timers Reunion today?
Well, my boy John Lee, he lived right next door to me at 340. I was at 342. This is his baby, you know. Now, let me tell you about John. John was the guy in the neighborhood. He was the documentary sort of guy, you know what I'm saying? He always had a camera out, thinking about taking pictures and things of that, you know, remembering stuff. And he was talking that way back then. So he always had a VA camera taking pictures and stuff like that. And what was the question again?
Why did you decide to come to the reunion today?
Oh, okay. Well, just to hook up with the people.
Okay.
You know.
What are some things you think more people should know about Park Slope or Brooklyn based on your own experiences?
All right, about Park Slope, what you need to know. Now, when I was coming up in Park Slope, Malcolm X was assassinated, I think around about 1968 or something like that. I had to be around about, I was around about 10, something like that. And I remember I was coming out of the night gym from right here, and I was walking up the block. Somehow or another, I heard that Malcolm X was shot. But, you know, I ain't know too much about Islam or Malcolm. Just what I hear on the television, the news, and my brothers. And, you know, at one time, the Black Panther Party was in this neighborhood. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you some history, sister. Back in the day, right, Celeste?
Don't wait, because I want to tell him. Yeah, we took him to the beach party with us one night. We regretted it.
All right, God, listen, all right, let me get back to it. Like I would say, the Panther Party. Now, when Malcolm was assassinated, the Panther Party was going on within the neighborhood. PS 321 was the hub where all the Black Panthers would meet during the evening. So they would congregate up there, and Satch, all these guys, who was running the Panther Party, they would get up there and map out their strategy, what they're going to do, how they was going to participate within the neighborhood. And so they would be up there. And so the Panther Party was there. And during that time, there was a lot of turmoil within the neighborhood. And a lot of riots. Like I say, we weren't accepted in the neighborhood. My brother, one summer night, we sitting on the stoop, and my mother gave my brother a letter to go mail it, go put the letter in the mailbox. And at the time, the mailbox was right on the corner, right over there on corner 4th Street and 5th Avenue. So, you know, the summertime, we out, hanging out on the stoop, sitting down. And next thing you know, my brother come up the block, holding his side, saying that he had been stabbed. Yes. So what happened, they jumped my brother down at the mailbox. They stabbed him, the South Brooklyn Boys. They stabbed him. So anyway, so happened that night, my uncle was there, and he's a butcher. And, but all of this just didn't just take place that night. This had been simmering for quite some time, because my uncle was prepared. He had, like I said, he was a butcher, and I remember we sitting on the stoop, like I was young, but I'm hearing the conversation. He said, yeah, I got some knives, don't worry about it. I'm going to bring some knives tomorrow, and we're going to do this and that. So, but either way, when they stabbed my brother that night, oh, it was on. We going down on the block, right on the corner, 5th Avenue, 4th Street, white boys and black boys. We was throwing down. I mean, right out, stabbing, fighting, kicking butt. I mean, the whole 9 yards. That was a day. And so funny how I remember my cousin telling me that once they went to Methodist Hospital to get treated and so forth, the same people that they stabbed, they saw them in the emergency room. But it wasn't a problem then, because one thing we noticed about them is they're more brave when they're in a cluster. You know what I'm saying? But if you one-on-one, no. It's no contest. They don't even want to have a conversation because they know they're not going to win. But when they're in a cluster, that's when they're brave. But they know our name from that night. We had no more problems, but we was throwing down. Park Slope was very racist. And during that same time, when King got assassinated and that whole period, when they get out of school here in junior high school 51s, when school was let out, the buses, the public buses, the city buses would line up across the street, and everybody would load onto the buses. The ones who was going out of the neighborhood, they had to load onto the bus, and the bus would make an express stop from 4th Street all the way down to, say, Union Street. The bus would not stop in between 4th Street and Union Street, because going down from 4th Street, like 1st Street, Garfield, Carroll, President Street, that's where all the white boys was at. I'm saying it like the way we was talking then. And so the bus wouldn't stop, because when the buses drove through there and all the black kids on the bus, they would bottle the bus, the bricks at the bus. Oh yeah. It was bad. And another thing, on the precinct, the 72nd precinct up there, 77th precinct, it didn't protect us. They was down with the white boys. Oh yeah. So with all of that abuse and everything, and that's going on now. What's going on back then? Yeah, Park Slope. It was a time in Park Slope.
What are some of your hopes for the neighborhood and or Brooklyn?
Well, hopes for the neighborhood. If you're black and you're not in here now, you're not getting in. So everyone who's left out of here, that's history. You're not coming back except just for this reunion. And I'm not someone who like to live in the past. So I was a little on the fence about attending. You know what I'm saying? You know, I like to keep moving forward. This was here during the past, but you know, it's a new day. And during them times when the 60s, when we was fighting, Vietnam War, brothers and sisters over here fighting. I mean, just to come to the park. I couldn't come to the park unless they want to fight. I was fighting all the time. Oh. They would come get me. Hey, Mike. Yo, man, they don't want us in the park. I used to come down the block. Oh, we used to come down the block. Oh, yeah. What's the time? Fighting all the time. But, you know, but what I have hopes for, no, we just got to keep it moving. You know, the thing is, all about the color and the black and the white. You got to realize God ain't, it's no color. He's a spirit. There's no color. As soon as somebody recognize and start discriminating because of someone's color, the better off we'll be. The better off we'll be, and then we can move on. But until then, that day, things ain't gonna change. So Park Slope is Park Slope. Like I said, I just gotta keep it moving.
So my last question to you, what does history mean to you?
Coming from Georgia, and I just did my African ancestry, find out what part of the continent I'm from, and it's all about the history. I have to go back to Ethiopia. That's where my DNA is, on my father's side, the Omo people. I'm talking about power, psychologically, that gives me such a boost, just knowing that. On my mother's side, her DNA goes into Cameroon with the Marseille tribe, M-A-S-A. You know, so now I know where I came from, and I know where I can go. So it's all about the history, all about what we're experiencing here. In Park Slope, it's all about the history. We're just connecting to brothers and sisters. What John, we was talking, one day we was at a funeral, and he said, Mike, man, we got to get together some other than at a funeral, man. We need to do something, man, just have everybody come together. And that's what he did. That's how this came about. So instead of we meeting at the funeral, we meet at the old-timers reunion. Oh, at the old-timers. You know, that got to set in. You know what I'm saying? Because in your mind, you don't see yourself as an old-timer. What you see within is what you recognize, but people looking at you from the outside see you. They see you as an old timer because of the gray face and all this stuff. Matter of fact, at church the other day, they set me up with the elders in front of the church. You know what I'm saying? That's all. The brother said, yo, man, you can set up with the elders. I said, okay, all right, man. So it's not what you feel inside. It's what the people see you on the outside and what they recognize you from the outside, but you don't have to identify what they recognize you with. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, I'm the elders. I'm going to the movies now. I'm using all the discounts, my APPR card, whatever. You know, I get all the discounts. I'm an elder. That's how I made it. But I feel like I'm like maybe 34, 35. You know what I'm saying? I was looking for the double dutch ropes out here. The last time we was down, he was jumping double dutch. You know, I got my roller skates in the car. You know? Moving. But it's only by the grace of God. That's what we got to bring into the picture. It's the grace of God. Recognizing the one God. There's no other God. It's but one God. That's how come, aren't we all have the same Father? So we got to get over this color thing. You know, get over this color. Because God is a spirit. It ain't no color. Stop looking at people black and white and brown and all of this nonsense and all these different religions and bringing in all of this negative stuff. I know you ain't want to hear all of this here, you know. Merchandise of Satan. All the negative stuff. I can go into that, but I'm going to leave that alone. You know. So, but yeah, you know, it's going to be upbeat for Park Slope because, you know, it done made that change, that gentrification change. So, but the change got to take place within us so that we can move on from here. Everybody that's come here, the old folks, and then now we going back out, going to be doing what we normally do, trying to live, make ends meet.
Thank you so much. That concludes our interview for today. And I thank you so much for your time.
All right. Well, thank you for having me here. And I want to send a word out to Imhotep Gary Bird. You know what I'm saying? Gary Bird coming out of WWRL and WLIB, going back into the days when Percy Sutton was the Manhattan Borough president. But not only the Manhattan Borough president, but the attorney for Malcolm X. You know what I'm saying? That brother was the attorney for Malcolm X. So shout out to Imhotep Gary Bird for all he's done. And I owe a lot for that brother just from going to see him at the Apollo Theater and his words of wisdom. Thank you.